when I first came to this country, I used to operate the PA myself. Yeah, oh yeah, sure. It was at my feet. I used to turn around. It was holding the bass drum from falling off the stage. It was time to come out with something that was punchy enough to really put the past into perspective and let it be, you know.
I'm Robert Plant, and I'm talking with my old chum, Redbeard.
And necessity is the mother of invention. I really wanted to do something real bright and breezy and cheerful, and Talk Cool One was really Real Wild Child by Iggy Pop, mixed with a bit of Billy Idol, mixed with Rock and Roll by Led Zeppelin, with a sense of humour. Hi, this is Robert Plant in the studio with Adventures from Now and Zen.
The last 5 years of British supergroup Led Zeppelin were particularly hard for lead singer Robert Plant. While vacationing with his family in 1975 on the Greek island of Rhodes, they were all seriously injured in a car crash. The following year, after just embarking on a U.S. tour in support of Led Zeppelin's Presence album, Plant's 6-year-old son died suddenly of a virus. The band curtailed everything until releasing the brilliant album In Through the Outdoor in summer 1979. But on the eve of yet another attempt at touring America in September 1980, Led Zeppelin's brutish drummer John Bonham died of alcohol poisoning, thus running Led Zeppelin aground. Robert Plant launched a solo career in 1982, but as recently as 1988, Plant seemed haunted by his past, but strangely, not by the tragedy and loss which you would imagine. Rather, it was the shadow cast by the monolithic success of Led Zeppelin that seemed to vex Robert Plant in the 80s, as he sought to reconcile his place not just in rock history, but as a contemporary musician determined not to repeat himself.
I don't look at it like that.
Really? Tell me.
I don't think there's any first and second half of anything. I think it's just, you know,
the big wall.
Existentialism is like you just get up, go, do. I mean, I can't say that now I may be mature, that I can now look back and plan the rest of my life from the experiences of the first part or whatever, because there is no half. I think in 10,000 years' time, I might be middle-aged, if you know what I mean. Mm. I don't think I've ever had any conscious time to sort of reiterate and decide on how to be dignified in the next phase of my being.
Wow.
Because I haven't felt myself threatened with the lack of dignity that comes with middle age or whatever it is, to be jumping around like Gary Glitter or somebody like that, when you know it's uncomfortable and it looks ludicrous.
Mm.
I don't think I've reached that point yet where I think I might have to watch out, because it's coming, boy. You know, watch out, Robert, you're going to look like a... can't do that. I think people assess themselves and start creating or opening the other avenue or wiping the third eye at a point when they think they're in trouble. You know, you can't go curb crawling anymore, you know. Maybe you can't make a pass at a girl who's 21. Well, or maybe all these things are making a man or a woman go, oh, dear, oh dear, what am I going to do?
Mm.
So that is then called maturity and an assessment of one's
past. I really didn't have that in mind, but
no.
Okay too.
We'll be right back.
That's In the Mood from Robert Plant's second solo offering, 1983's Principle of Moments. But it certainly was far from being a Led Zeppelin clone, which would have been the safe and easy route for Plant to take.
Talking about Jimmy Page's work, it's the same for him as it is for me. We were both birds of the same nest, if you like. We hatched from the same nest, and we continue individually to extend our work as far in each direction as we possibly can. That's part of what it's all about. I mean, in fact, it's 90% of what it's all about, really. I would hate to be considered to be something that a person or an entertainer or a musician who satisfies his ego primarily by being safe. I can't really stand in middle ground and be showered with confetti and compliments. But primarily, the most important thing to me is to expand what I'm doing and to take people with me or not. You know, and if Too Loud and Trouble Your Money and stuff like that is not within the kind of capacity for people to enjoy and take as a piece of straightforward music, then I will do half a night in the local bar in preference. But on the other hand, I think that what myself and my companions have got to offer is really something that is special, and I can blow my own trumpet. Everybody you may speak to does that. By stretching out and giving people an amount of choice on one record, you are tempting the audience to take in far more than they would normally be expected to within the realms of a two-hour show or within the realms of the purchase of one record. And my business is to please myself primarily and to pander to taste somewhere further down the line. It's what musicians are all about, really, at the bottom line. I mean, the guys who invented the milestones of rock and roll have been imitated a million times, but the people who created those milestones are the people who everybody looks back at. And I don't really want to be considered to be somebody who drops into line with current fashion or anything like that. I take current fashion and twist it round and smack it on the arse.
continuing a tradition of cryptic song titles going back to his Led Zeppelin days. That's Big Log, from Robert Plant's second solo outing, The Principle of Moments, a top 10 seller. And even though Plant's first two solo albums each went top 10, there appeared to be something awkward about Plant's post-Zeppelin career, as though his monumental achievements with the Leaded Ones had somehow become a lead millstone around his neck. In fact, getting Robert to even utter the Z word was next to impossible until a remarkable recording session ignited some spontaneous combustion in the studio.
Well, it seems that at all the rehearsals, the thing I look forward to most of all is that the time that I start singing some old song by Laverne Baker or Big Joe Turner or anybody you care to think of, any old song that hasn't been flogged to death by the Four Seasons. And they're immediately behind me again, you know? And it's like, really, it reminds me of all the Led Zeppelin rehearsals that we used to have where we never used to rehearse our own songs. We always used to rehearse somebody else's. So if you ever wanted a version of It's Now or Never by Elvis, you would never get a better version than the Led Zeppelin version of it. It was never recorded, and people used to sit at the back of the auditorium going, huh, that can't be real. And it was real. I just love those. Whatever it is that takes away from the hard work of my own personal music, I really enjoy it. It juxtaposes all my work and my effort and gives me something fresh out the corner of my eye that I hadn't bargained for, you know? Well, it's a carrot. It dangles in front of my nose and I'm biting for it all the time as if it was a G-string at the Million Dollar Saloon.
Have you?
that's just hot. With a slight reworking of Roy Brown's Jump Blues' Rockin' at Midnight, that's Robert Plant as The Honey Drippers Volume 1 from 1984, with Jeff Beck on smokin' guitar, plus Paul Schaefer on piano with his Uptown Horns from the Letterman Band. I'm Redbeard, in the studio with Robert Plant for his 9-CD DVD box set, 9 Lives.
Welcome back. I'm Robert Plant, and I'm talking with my old chum Redbeard.
Interestingly, the Honey Drippers' success with its retro sound had a profound effect on Robert Plant when it came time to do his next full solo album. It seems that with the Honey Drippers' leapfrogging past Led Zeppelin musically, it had given Plant permission to start with a clean slate.
Was shaken and stirred. Well, I guess it came from the fact that we were all kind of wallowing around wanting to know what we should really do and how it should really be. And I think the emphasis on the whole thing was that after two albums of reflection and looking at each other and wondering whether we'd got rid of each other's wraiths and myths and put it all behind us, it was time to come out with something that was punchy enough to really put the past into perspective and let it be, you know. And Shaken and Stirred was really how it was. I went to America and got involved in the Honey Drippers sketch, which was very, very exciting, virile, and for the moment, and lasted probably a total of 8 hours recording, and came back really bouncy. But at the same time, you can come out from a corner and you can say, take this and see if you can suck it long enough until it melts, you know? And that's really what Shaken and Stirred's all about. It's like, bang.
Robert Plant's 1985 third solo album, Shaken and Stirred. That's Little by Little. For the song Heaven Knows on the February 1988 album release Now and Zen, Robert Plant told me that he returned to a place that had previously been a source of musical inspiration for him.
Well, I went back to Morocco because the song was a powerful song, and it oozed with that kind of power. When I wrote the lyrics to Kashmir, I was in Morocco, and I felt that I was getting back into that kind of feel. Not lyrically particularly, because the lyrics on this are very kind of socially, they're spitting at society, really. But I just felt the whole feel of Kashmir. I felt confident again, strong. So I wanted to go back to my beloved Morocco.
Why is it beloved?
Because everything about it adds to some kind of, all the sums come to some kind of whole feel, which is the colour, the mood, the feel, the smell, the people, the expressions on the people's faces, their expectations of what can be achieved in a day compared to what ours are, the oldness, the Atlas Mountains, the whole foreign thing, foreign to an English person, but so alluring, the most beautiful intoxication, really, yeah. The smell of smoke coming up through the valleys as you go across the mountain passes and the Atlas Mountains, where the mighty arms of Atlas hold the heavens from the earth in Achilles' last stand. There's a place or two there that are, they're just places that, you know, you may find them in northern New Mexico, you know, but there are a couple in Morocco that places I could sit forever and ever and ever. So Heaven Knows, the video Heaven Knows and all that, I just wanted to go back to that feel. I wanted to go somewhere where I knew I could turn a corner and something would happen that I would never have ever anticipated. Everything is so preordained, kind of, when you walk into the streets in Dallas. You know what I mean? You're not going to turn a corner and get some kind of real wah.
That's Heaven Knows from Robert Plant's 1988 Now and Zen solo album. Up next, Plant scores his biggest solo success after finally acknowledging his legacy. I'm Redbeard in the studio with Robert Plant for the 9-CD DVD box set, 9 Lives.
Welcome back. I'm Robert Plant, and I'm talking with my old chum Redbeard.
Thank you, Robert. Plant had cleaned house after the Shaken and Stirred tour, hiring a young, talented, but unknown English band.
The reason that it really works for me is because of its honesty, because it shot through Ruby Murray and Johnny Ray, and it came out of all that complacency, which, if we're not careful, radio and FM rock and roll is just as stagnant as the whole scenario was when Presley and Gene Vincent shot through back in 1955. But out of it all, somewhere, that's why punk was so important in 1977. It came out and went, and it was so basic and raw that it was brilliant. And Paige and I used to stand back and go, yeah, that's what we did in 67, 68. With The Train Kept A-Rollin' and Communication Breakdown, and later on in 1979 with Wearing and Tearing, which came out on Coda. It was like, we know what it's all about. It's gut stuff, you know? It's never mind all the sort of saccharine and the sort of the schmaltz. Underneath it all, kids walking the street at night with $2 in their pocket, if they're lucky, cannot relate to the big production. The big production alienates them. It's like a commercial on the TV where nobody's got any cavities, you know? But through it all comes the stuff from the street. And the stuff from the street, Gene Vincent and Eddie Cochran and Elvis Presley and The Phantom and all those great rock and roll things, the things that really make me hum even now. And there's something that keeps my finger in the socket rather than on the switch.
featuring his Led Zeppelin mate Jimmy Page on guitar. That's Robert Plant with Tall Cool One from 1988's Now in Zen. With this one musical blast, Plant exorcised his demons and stepped out of the shadow cast by his previous band. I asked Plant if he realized what joy it brought to his fans to see him finally acknowledge his rightful position at the apex of rock's elite.
And necessity is the mother of invention. I really wanted to do something real bright and breezy and cheerful, and Tall Cool One was really Real Wild Child by Iggy Pop mixed with bit of Billy Idol mixed with Rock and Roll by Led Zeppelin with a sense of humor. Yeah, so it was quite a remarkable thing, because we were writing, we didn't really know each other at all. But it was like, I had the rock and roll and blues element, and they had the kind of techno element, you know? But what I liked about the two of them was the kind of whole techno approach and their irreverence. They're very irreverent guys. They heard a bit of Kashmir. I mean, they know Led Zeppelin inside out. And you just take the chords to Kashmir, the ascending chord sequence, and turn it into, and just use the chord, speed it up, put a different time signature to it, and you got another song. I mean, that's the story of rock and roll, really. Yes. It's the Brill Building. It's everything. It's everybody's back room. It's Kingdom Come. It's everybody. And I was joining everybody else and going, oh, yeah, how about if you did this to that and that to this, you know? There it was, you know?
Turn this boat around.
Well, you know, it's only now that I actually have distanced myself far enough in my own career to actually reinvoke the whole thing. Shaken and Stirred wasn't strong enough commercially for me to come. If I'd have used my contribution to Zeppelin back on the Shaken and Stirred tour, it would look as if I was having to bail myself out.
Okay.
The poor guy, his records aren't commercial anymore, so he's leaning back and doing,
Okay.
Now, with a successful piece of music, which is a happy piece of music, which is full of my own personality, I can then bring back parts of my contribution from way back without it looking as if, without it appearing and without it actually really being some kind of mercy job. Right. I mean, I'm celebrating my whole career now because I was really missing the camaraderie, the tightness that was there with Led Zeppelin. I mean, it was real tight. Of course I do. Yeah, it's great. I mean, I've waited so long to be able to present what I've been a part of in a decent manner without, again, without it being a crutch. In without it terms. Being a false limb, yeah. Right. I mean, this is like, this, and there was also that, you know? And I don't feel that either one outplays the other now. And that's taken quite a bit of doing.
She's the girl of my dreams, she's the girl of my mind. She's playing me for a fool, cause she's the hurting kind. Another part in the west. Better jump back, baby. You're the girl I love the best. I'm gonna ride the wind. There's nothing I won't do. I'm coming up real fast. I got my eyes on you. Yeah. Listen to the eyes of love. Tell me what you see. I see your long black hair moving over me. Oh, yes, I feel good now. Let's talk about love. Let's talk about love. Let's talk about. Talk about love. We'll be right back.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm happy that people are enjoying it. It makes it more of an enjoyable show. People used to come along and go, oh, Robert, go on. Go on, go on. And I was looking at them and going, mm-mm. Well, it was just apathy and lethargy crept in. I mean, when you work with people, you don't really know from day to day how it's going to be and whether it'll change and what ultimately ends you go to find out what you are as a unit. Mm. And really, I mean, there were great moments in my solo material prior to this, very, very good. Ones that I'll always be proud of because I reckon I continue to hold some kind of torch for the kind of way I felt in Zeppelin days, right the way through to now, you know. But at the same time, a bit more application from other people and a little more balance, a little more contribution could have made it a lot better. And I think in the end, I was dragging the whole thing along, just pulling it along for survival's sake. I liked what I did and I liked the angles of the music. I liked the fact that it wasn't four to the bar and four to the bank, you know, and four to the chorus. Mm. And I'll always, there's a subtle blend, commerciality, credit, and your own ability to live with yourself.
Thank you.
From May, 1993's Fate of Nations album, that's 29 Palms, from Robert Plant on the Nine Lives box set. I'm Redbeard, back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio, thanking Robert Plant for the many opportunities to talk to him about his music. In the Studio is written and produced by yours truly, Redbeard, for Bearded Fish Productions, copyright 2013, all rights reserved. Transcription by Jane Carpenter Brune. Theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and find out a whole lot more of your favorites at inthestudio.net.